I just be talking about whatever. Hey, welcome to Podcasting About Whatever. I'm your host, Shannon Kareem. I just want to thank you for joining me on this journey of thought-provoking randomness and conversation. I hope you enjoy. People, how are you all doing? I pray that you all are in good health, good mental health, spiritual health, physical health, all the health. I pray that you all are living and thriving in it. I know it has been a long time. I have missed you. I've missed podcasting, but please, please, please do not charge it to my heart. Charge it to my life and all the life changes that I've been going through lately. And with a sprinkle of my own procrastination and laziness. But please don't charge it to my heart. I have really desired to pick this back up, and I have topics upon topics upon topics that I want to talk about. But just with all those different variables, that's why, you know, I am where I am right now. But hey, it's never too late. So here we are with season two of Podcasting About Whatever. And I just want to thank you for just staying on this random road of randomness with me. And I pray that every episode in this season two, that you get something out of it, that you are challenged, that you're inspired, that you it provokes some type of thought, that you challenge me, criticize me, encourage me, whatever. I just pray that whatever we talk about in this season two of Podcasting About Whatever, that, you know, it just gets some gears running, some random gears running inside of you. But anyway, I have like a lot of topics like bubbling inside of me, and I'm just so excited to be at this point to be able to record them and get them out to you all. And I pray that they are a blessing to you. The happy late Thanksgiving. At the time when you're listening to this podcast, Thanksgiving would have already passed. So I pray that you had a great Thanksgiving. And while we are flowing into this holiday season, I just pray that you stay in mental and physical and spiritual, good mental, spiritual and physical health. You know, sometimes people have a holiday blues, and I just really keep people like that in my prayers and everything like that. And I pray that we all do, because you just never know what sometimes the holidays may trigger in certain people. So just I'm sending you some love and encouragement. And before we get into our topic, I just want to say too, please go out and follow me on Instagram, Podcasting About Whatever. You can like, share, and subscribe anywhere where you listen to podcasts. I'm there. So hit me up and feel free to email me at podcastingaboutwhatever@gmail.com. I take all critiques, encouragement, questions, show ideas, whatever. Throw it at me, email me, I'll chit chat with you. If you have some show ideas, you know, you might hear the show on the next podcast episode or whatever. But anyway, just all that. Thank you. Hit me up. Happy holidays. All right. Now let's get into what we are going to talk about. So as you can see from the topic, we are talking about church. And let me take you all on the road of randomness that brought me to this topic, okay? So of course, last year, and really this year, but last year we were in the thick of the pandemic. And really this year we're kind of still in it, because a lot of businesses are not back to normal or back to where they were prior to the pandemic. A lot of schools aren't. Businesses, I think I said that already, but like a lot of things are just kind of like not back to prior to the pandemic. on top of that, you know, we were dealing with a racial pandemic. So last year was a trip, and it has kind of like flowed over to this year. And so I was thinking as we were coming into this year and, you know, the vaccine came out and, you know, people were trying to decide if they were going to get the vaccine, if they weren't going to get the vaccine, and then like how to bring people back together, whether it was at school or whether it was a business or if it was at church. And so my line of thinking, and maybe I was a little naive in this, but I was like, man, you know, I bet a lot of people are going to be really excited to get back into church, because prior to that, a lot of churches were kind of hesitant to stop having services when the coronavirus first hit the press, I guess I'm gonna say it like that. You know, a lot of churches was like, no, we're gonna keep moving in faith and we're not gonna close our doors. And to be honest, a lot of churches didn't stop having church, right? So I thought in my thinking that church, you know, because it was so hard, well, it seemed from my eyesight, it just seemed like churches were really not with that, not coming together, that when things got back to, and I'm doing an air quote, normal, and doors of the churches open, that people were going to be running back to church in droves, like, yes, we are back. And then you consider all the things that we kind of went through from last year to this year, you know, with the pandemic itself, people losing their lives, people losing their jobs, the racial pandemic, right? So I just thought a lot of people were going to be like, let's get back to church. Then I started to notice that a lot of pastors were preaching and they were like, oh, you know, I can see you at the mall, but I'm not seeing you at church. Oh, I can see you at the movies, but I'm not seeing you at church. And I'm like, wow, it just seems like, you know, why aren't people ready to get back in church? You know, people who had never been to church before, or people who had like strong memberships, why does it seem like a lot of people are not ready to get back to church? So then, of course, you know me, I miss random thoughts. So I'm Googling, trying to figure out like why, what is keeping people from not going back to church? Why are these pastors really like harping on their church membership now, right? So I found a few articles where a lot of people were like, they're not going back to church. They are not. And so from those articles, I narrowed it down to like a couple of reasons why. And I'm going to talk about those. And I want to really hear some feedback from you all. Like, tell me what you all think about the fact that people are really not even thinking about and not even considering going to church. And does any of these reasons that I'm about to tell you about make sense? Or are people just making excuses? Or are you like, yeah, I can relate with that. Okay. So here we go. So the first reason is that people have like legit health concerns. They're like uncertain about the coronavirus. There's some people who are just, you know, like on teeter-tottering between getting vaccinated and being vaccinated. And then for some who aren't vaccinated, they're like, I don't even know if I want to put myself at risk like that. And then some of them who are vaccinated, they're like, I'm vaccinated, but I can still get coronavirus, and I don't even know if I want to take that risk. So, and then it depends on the age of the individual, but there were just some people who really had some legit concerns about being back out there, being in large groups. So they're just like, no, I'm not going back to church because of legit health concerns. Yeah, we might be in church wearing the mask, and yeah, we might have like, you know, the 6 feet apart or however far apart during worship, but you know, what about altar calls? You know, even some pastors are like concerned about that. What about altar calls? What about, you know, close proximity prayer and things like that? Like, do we really want to put people's lives at risk? So that's one reason, you know, people have thought about not going to church, and some churches not even really fully opening the doors of their church because of legitimate health concerns. The number two reason why I found where people were just like, they're not going back to church is because the convenience of being at home. So a lot of churches beefed up, if they hadn't already, their virtual what's the word I want to use? The virtual capabilities for church services. So for some churches, you can go to church on Zoom. You can go to church on StreamYard. You can go to church on Facebook Live. Whatever type of streaming platform that you can kind of pull up from an app on your phone, an app on your television, or app on your computer. But for some people, the convenience of being at home is one reason why they're not running back to the building. And I'm not even going to lie, virtual church was my jam last year. I was loving me some virtual church. I told my pastor that, like, there were some Sundays when I would be, like, listening to church and I'm, like, washing clothes or making breakfast or folding clothes or chilling on my couch or chilling in my bed while, and that, I really love that, like, getting back into the flow of actually getting up, taking a shower, low-key, getting dressed and actually going to the building, that getting back into that routine, it was a lot for me. That's so crazy, but it really was because I was so comfortable with virtual church. So when I read that in those articles, I was like, I totally understand because it is such a convenience to just pop on the TV and go to church, basically. The only caveat that I would put to that was a good point that someone brought out is that how much you're really getting out of that. Because like me, I'd be honest that there were times when I was going to virtual church and I was doing all the housework and everything like that, that I was only getting like a little bit of the word or really kind of in tune to the service just a little bit, because I was trying to multitask. And the way my brain is set up, that was not very beneficial. I have to be honest with that. But I'm keeping it real, but I still love the convenience of it, you know? So, let me see. Another one kind of like going along with the convenience of being of a virtual church was that some churches, you know, they have like Bible study and everything like on Wednesdays. Well, this one article, this one particular lady was saying that when she would go to physical church, she would have to go from like work, get home, try to prep dinner or grab something to eat for her kids, try to help them do their homework, get the family together, pile them up in the car, and then go to church on Wednesday. But with virtual church, it was less of the rushing to get everybody to one place to another. It was, she was just coming home from work. She could cook dinner. They could be at the dinner table listening to virtual church while they ate dinner or just sitting in the convenience of their home as a family. And she was able to get her kids to bed on time. She was able to get to bed on time and still have that quality family time that she was missing when she was trying to get her family together to get them to the actual physical building. And I get that. I totally get that. I get that. I think too that spending time with, sometimes with going to the physical church, that time with the family was lacking. And I think that the pandemic in and within itself, it kind of made us all stop the hustle and bustle and sat down somewhere and really spend time with our loved ones. And I think that really appealed to a lot of people because they noticed things that they missed about their children, about their spouse. And so having that family time was really beneficial. So I just wanted to add that part, you know, so that's why I can understand that. Some people said that the reason why they didn't come to church, now this was an interesting one, was because they felt judged by their pastors, their leaders, or fellow members in the church. The reason why is because there were some churches who were like, well, if you get the vaccine, if you're wearing a mask, if you're believing all this hype about coronavirus, you're not really walking in faith. And so people's concerns were being judged. And I did see a couple of churches online where pastors were kind of scolding their members, so to speak. And scolding might be too harsh of a word, but really coming down on their members about the fact that, like, you ain't walking in faith if you worried about some virus. And I don't know, y'all. I'll be honest, that is a total turnoff for me when it comes to church, just period. Like, coronavirus aside, the whole whose faith is stronger, sometimes competition that goes on in churches, and I'm just keeping it real, it really gets on my nerves. Because at the end of the day, like, who are you? Who are you? Period. It is God who gives us the gift of faith. It is God who gives us the measure of faith. It is God who measures our faith. It is God who measures whether or not we are truly walking in faith. So who are you at the end of the day? You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and we have to look the Lord face to face and give an account for all that we've done or not done. You, whoever is judging somebody's faith, you're not going to be standing right beside him talking about, God, because see, he or she, just really wasn't believing in you. Their faith was small during the whole coronavirus, COVID pandemic. That's not going to happen. So though I sympathize, I kind of understand, like, who wants to be told that your legitimate concern is not showing faith, or who wants to be mocked for a legitimate concern that you might have? Like, yeah, that might be person A's concern, but it is person B's concern, and that's okay. My God, today, that is okay. So a lot of people were saying that they didn't want to come back to church because they were just like, man, my pastor or my leaders or the people in my church, they're being insensitive to how I'm feeling about my loved ones, how I'm feeling about my own health. So they decided just, they're not going back to church. I also saw where some individuals said that they weren't going back to church because, and this was interesting also. So they were black individuals who went to predominantly white churches, and they stated that they were not going back to church anymore because they felt that during the whole, George Floyd incident, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, when the racial injustices were kind of coming up more, or there was a light being shined on them, that they felt like their white pastor was not being sensitive enough to how they felt, and they were just kind of trying to sweep it under the rug, or just kind of say that, like, white privilege doesn't exist, or that just kind of pacify someone who may have been really hurt about the things that were happening on the news. And though you, someone of another race, may not understand, those things affect maybe not all black people, but a good portion of black people, because you see these things happening on social media or television, and it's easier when you see these things happening to a black person, it's easier to see yourself or to see one of your family members. And so the hurt or the empathy or the sympathy of it's deeper. And especially when you go to church, you the place that they call the church sometimes like a spiritual hospital, you really want to receive some type of a healing or comfort there. But if you go there and those feelings are being dismissed, then that might turn you off a little bit. And I'm going to be honest, like, I know of even some black pastors that were just not very, just kind of wanted to gloss over everything that was happening. But at the end of the day, your parishioners, and please forgive me if that's not the right word, but the people that go to your church, you know, they're coming in with real hurts. Everybody's hurt is not my bills didn't get paid, my, you know, I'm about to get a divorce, you know, I'm single and I want a man or a woman, or, you know, I'm a single parent. Some people's hurt is, you know, other things like I'm being racially profiled, you know, I'm dealing with anxiety because of whenever I see a cop. I'm dealing with depression because I'm seeing people that look like me being murdered innocently for no reason. I'm feeling marginalized. I'm feeling, you know, like I'm getting treated unfairly, unjustly. You know, it seems like people get away with killing people that look like me. Like, those things hurt. People are coming to the church with those type of hurts also. So a lot of people, well, in some of the articles I read, they just were like, they felt like those type of concerns and feelings were not being addressed. So they were like, they cut ties with the ministries or with the churches that they went to. And I'm going to be honest, I understand that, you know, sometimes I sympathize and empathize with leaders and pastors of churches, because there's millions, or not millions, but for some churches, there's a lot of people expecting you to meet their individual needs, and you are just one person, and that's not always easy. It's not easy at all. So I sympathize with that. But I also feel like for certain things, I just don't feel like certain things should be glossed over. You know, and I don't know how to, you know, verbalize that in a way that would be any of assistance to any pastors, as if I got the remedy for this anyway. But I understand kind of what they're going through. But I also understand that, like, as someone who goes to church, you kind of want someone to sympathize with what you're going through. But I also know that there's other people in the congregation also. So, but I still understand that though. So there was not just with people not deciding not go to church. There were some things that happened within church that made some pastors, in some of the articles that I read, some pastors really like think about how they were running their church. So this one particular pastor, he noticed that he was not really reaching out to the members of his congregation as much as he needed to. So during the pandemic, like, he noticed that, like, well, let me rephrase that. Sorry. Before the pandemic, he noticed that he was not reaching out to his members. And so during the pandemic, he made his leaders and just fellow church members, like, reach out to people and make sure that everybody was taken care of, and, you know, make the connections within the congregation stronger. Then on the flip side of that, there was some people, some in articles that I read, that they said they didn't hear from nobody at their church. Like, once the church doors closed and they started doing everything virtual, that was the extent of how they communicated with their church. And it really made them feel like, dang, we weren't really a church family after all, because y'all just kind of left me out here. And that's sad, you know, because church is like a family. And to think that your family was not even thinking about you during this time, you know, it hurts, you know, and especially for the bigger congregations. I know that had to be like a big task to try to keep in contact and really check in on people. And kudos to those churches that were able to do it, you know. Some people in some articles, they said that they were not attending church on the regular anyway. So when church doors closed, all that did was give them they didn't have to make an excuse no more. They were just like, oh, cool, bet, because I wasn't going anyway. So I think everything being closed worked out for them. Then some people said that they stopped going because they started to question their faith. Because of everything that was going on, like, not just with the pandemic, but with all the racial uprising that was going on, there were some people in some articles, they were saying that, like, where is God? like with all this going on, like where is God? And the question, that question, what am I trying to say? That just overrode everything, and it really made them question their faith to where it just, everything just kind of fizzled out. They were just like, there's too many questions and not enough answers. So I'm just going to give, the deuces and not come back to church. So that was really it in the articles that I've read as to why people did not want to go to church. It had to do with, or, people's mindsets about church. It had to do with legitimate health concerns, being mocked or judged because of those concerns, the convenience of being at home, because pastors and preachers did not reach out to them, because they went to a predominantly white church, and they just felt like they were overlooked, being that like one, the few black people that went there. People who just didn't go to church anyway were just like, cool, since I didn't go on a regular, I'm gonna stop going. And then people who just started to question their faith. And at the end of the day, I know some people could probably be like, well, you just making excuses and things like that, because people make time for what they really want to do, or they do the things that they really want to do, and all that. It could be true. But also, other things can be true, which is their legitimate concerns and hurts and their reasonings. That also can be true for that person. But my prayer at the end of the day is that I hope that people really search their hearts as to why they don't go to church or did not go back to church and things like that. And I pray that churches search their hearts and not just point the finger outside of the church as to why people aren't coming back, but that churches look within themselves and think, is there something different that we can do to draw people back? And I just pray that, again, like I always say at the beginning of every podcast, that people are in good physical health, mental health, spiritual health. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I'm not saying that just as some cliche. I really have the heart to want to see and hear about people doing well. I really do. And I know that this past year and even this year has been a rough mountain for a lot of people to climb, and it still is. Things are still going on. But my prayer is that we do come to a place where we find peace, where we find joy, where we get into a community, where we get love, and that we be all that God has called us to be, and that we live the life that we are purposed here on earth to live. And just know that I love you guys. So that's it, really. That's really all that I have, and I'm pretty sure that's enough because I've probably ran my mouth too much. But as always, thank you so much for listening, and take care. Reach out to me. Tell me what you think. I'm open to any and everything that you all email me. Like I said, your encouragement, your criticism, it's all good. I am the type of person, I'm going to say this and then I promise you I'm going to shut up. But I'm the type of person that, this is what one of my old pastors used to say. He says, with certain things, you got to learn how to chew the cud. And I was like, what is that? And he gave me an example of like how cows, when they eat stuff, and I probably need to look this up to see if it's even true, but it's something that I use in life, so I'm going to use it. But anyway, when they eat stuff, they'll chew and chew and chew and chew to get all the nutrients and all the things that they need out of the grass or whatever is they're eating. And then the stuff that they don't need, they spit it out. And that's how I am in life. I consider the source for any type of critiques, criticism, even encouragement. I consider the source of who they come from and the motive behind where they're coming from. So I take in what I need to take in, and I spit out what I don't need. So that is why I welcome all criticism, encouragement, whatever, because I know what I'll keep and I know what I'll throw away. And with that said, thank you so much for listening to the podcast for season 2 of Podcasting About Whatever. And tune in next time for the next episode. I love you. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Podcasting About Whatever. I pray you enjoyed yourself and maybe even got something out of our conversation. I look forward to hearing from you, so hit me up. You can email me at podcastingaboutwhatever@gmail.com. It's the same as the title. And remember, whatever is spelled WHATEVA. So that's podcastingaboutwhatever@gmail.com. I may even take some time to read some of your emails on air. I'll keep it anonymous if you want me to. So until next time, take care or whatever.